I want to thank you for coming this evening. I especially want to thank Chancellor Hyman and Malcolm X Community College for hosting us. Today, I want to have a conversation with the people of Chicago about an issue that weighs heavily on all of us. Gun violence in Chicago is unacceptable. It threatens everything we have done together as a city and all the progress we have made in so many other areas. It is pulling us apart at the very moment that our city needs us to come together. When a 6-year-old girl playing on her porch with her family is shot, or the son of a police officer home from college on summer break is murdered on his front stoop, or an anti-violence activist is gunned down while playing video games at his friend's house, or an Army veteran who served his country is a mentor to at-risk youth at the YMCA and is killed in his car on his way home one night. Our hearts, Chicago's heart, is torn. For all the things that make Chicago great, for all the things that make us proud to call ourselves Chicagoans, the violence that is happening corrodes our core. It is not the Chicago we know, and it is not the Chicago we love. Just over 2 years ago, shootings and murders in Chicago were on a steady downward slide. They were reduced to a level our city had not seen since 1965. Today, that hopeful trend has been reversed. As big a problem as gun violence is for Chicago, it is not beyond our ability to solve. Ending this string of tragedies is our top priority as a city. We are infusing our police department with the manpower, the technology, and the training to meet this challenge head on. But while we're going to add significant resources to our police department, no resource will match the resource of an officer knowing that the neighborhood they work in supports their work. Fighting crime requires a partnership between the police and the community. And we all know that this partnership's been tested in Chicago. It is a problem that has festered in our city for decades. The shooting of Laquan McDonald brought it to a breaking point. I know, and the Superintendent Johnson knows, and his team knows, that we will not succeed in turning back the rising tide of violence without changing and rebuilding critical relationships with residents, and especially in the communities of color here in the city of Chicago. Under Superintendent Johnson's leadership, our police department is on a path to earn the respect of every community in the city of Chicago. Over the past months, Chicago's been making steady progress on our commitment to transparency and a new culture of accountability. Every officer will have a body camera by next year. Every officer's already been trained and equipped with a taser. The police department created new training requirements that places live scenarios that prepared them to calm a volatile situation down. We're reforming the way police respond to individuals with mental illness, treating it as a health issue, not a criminal issue. We have new protocols in place for the timely release of videos, and we're in the process of replacing the independent agency that investigates police misconduct with a new organization, with the tools to ensure real accountability when wrongdoing occurs. And we are fully committed to adopting a Citizens Oversight Committee and board that will provide strong and active voice for the community. We as a city will not waver until trust has been restored and the breach between the community and the police has been mended, because doing so is essential for our public safety. But I want to be frank, and I want to be honest with everybody. We all know this from our own experiences and our own lives. Adopting change is hard. It's especially difficult when that change is significant. And that is what our police officers are going through right now. They're going through very significant change. And even while these changes are being implemented and adopted, we as a city are simultaneously asking our officers to serve in very perilous situations with illegal guns and emboldened gangs on the streets of Chicago. Our officers need your support. They need your reassurance. And they need to know that they have to earn the public's trust. They don't get a blank check. But they do need our support. It's essential for their effectiveness in our city. And an overwhelming number of officers, we all know this, here in Chicago, are doing a good job under very difficult conditions. They put their lives on the line every day in situations none of us can fully comprehend or appreciate. When I talk to Chicagoans who live in our most violent, prone neighborhoods, they don't hate the police. In fact, they'll tell you they want more police and fewer gangs. They don't want more officers just driving around in cars, though, through their communities. They want officers in their neighborhood knowing the residents that they serve. We have too many senior citizens and good residents who, when they leave the front door, have to walk blocks out of their way just to avoid the gangbangers and the drug dealers on the street corners who are disturbing that neighborhood. And in too many communities, parents cannot even allow their children to play outside because of the fear of gun violence, of a stray bullet. They have to teach their children how to react when they hear the all-too-common sound of gunfire. They want more street police on the street who know and respect the residents of the neighborhood. As I've said before, and I want to repeat today, respect is a two-way street. It doesn't go one way. And we're never going back to an era of that time. We all have to respect each other and respect our conditions and our position. But I also want to be clear. There cannot be a permission slip for people to taunt officers who are trying to solve a crime in their community. We as a city have to have zero tolerance for that. Also, there can't be no pass for an officer to be dismissing a resident who was recently robbed who turned to them for help. Both situations were caught on video here. And if we're going to be what we need to be, that is not allowed, and that can't be accepted as a norm or acceptable. We have to set a new standard. Now, every one of us, not just in this room, but in the city, has a role to play in rebuilding the vital partnership between our police and the community. We all have to hold ourselves and each other to a higher standard. So today I'm calling on all Chicagoans to join in a comprehensive plan, a blueprint, to confront gun violence. No matter who you are, what your background is, where you live, this fight is for all of Chicago because it's Chicago's future that is at stake. Now, there are three paths to take to confront this challenge. The enforcement, there's investment, and there's prevention. And each is dependent on the other for their success. On the enforcement side, we need more police officers on the streets of our neighborhoods here in the city of Chicago. Superintendent Johnson knows what he needs for the police department to be successful. He has a strategy for fighting the recent upsurge in gang and gun violence, which is integrated into our broader public safety strategy. And a component of that in strategy is simple. It includes more officers on the street. That is why my budget will contain the first installment of a two-year plan to add 500 more police officers, the backbone of the police department. These officers will be assigned directly to the streets of our communities to work with residents in partnership to confront gun violence. We're also making a significant investment in our training academy not far from here, including adding nearly 100 new field training officers. And to make sure our beat officers have the oversight and direction they need, Superintendent Johnson will be promoting dozens of new sergeants from among his current officers. These new sergeants know the streets, and most importantly, their experience and leadership will help guide our officers on the beat, whether they are rookies or veterans. But additional personnel will not be limited just to beat officers and sergeants. As the superintendent announced just yesterday, over the next 2 years, we'll hire 200 more detectives to work in our violent crime and homicide unit. And I want to be also very clear. As we hire and promote new officers, sergeants, lieutenants, and detectives, we'll be guided by the recognition that our police department needs to reflect the communities that make up this great city. Even these new resources, our police department cannot tackle this issue alone. We need to enhance our partnerships with the federal agencies that help us fight crime. From the U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI, DEA, ATF, and U.S. Marshals. So as I ask our police department, as you ask them to step up and do more, I also ask our federal partners to do the same with our police department. To help our police officers do their better job, we're also going to invest in state-of-the-art technology. In addition to the body cameras and tasers for every officer, we're funding the placement of new gunshot tracing cameras in our most violent police districts. These cameras and technology will help our officers respond more quickly to shootings while providing the evidence to help identify and convict violent offenders. And when these shooters are apprehended and convicted, we need to make sure that they start serving the time that equals the crime they've just committed. Every one of us was sickened by the recent murder of Nakia Aldridge while she pushed a baby carriage down the street to register her kids at Dulles Elementary School. Doing what you want from a parent at the end of summer and the beginning of the school year. And what makes it even worse is that her murder might have been prevented if the alleged perpetrators had been given the sentences they deserve for previous crimes. The two brothers charged with Nakia's murder were both repeat violent offenders out on parole. One was released just 2 weeks before Nakia was shot. The other brother, convicted of multiple gun offenses, was sentenced to only 6 years on his most recent conviction when he was eligible for 14. We need to stop the revolving door for repeat gun offenders. These violent offenders must know that their punishment will match the seriousness of the crimes they have committed and the value and the sanctity of the lives they have taken from their fellow family members. I want you to hear this, because back in 2012, a reporter interviewed a gang member. And this is what the gangbanger said about his gun possession arrest. He said it was a joke. Gangbangers know how to manipulate the criminal justice system. They know its weaknesses and firsthand, and they know how to get around it. Our criminal justice system is fractured, and it's undermining Chicago's safety in its neighborhoods. Earlier this year, the Illinois General Assembly passed, and the governor signed into law, a law that reduced the penalties for low-level drug offenses. It's similar to an ordinance that the city council passed in 2012. This law is an important step, a very important step, to shrinking the pipeline into the criminal justice system for minor offenses that clog up the criminal justice system and our prisons with people that shouldn't be there. But that was only half the job. Tougher penalties for repeat violent offenders and stronger gun regulation for gun dealers represent the other half. And we will not make our streets safe until we complete the job. Superintendent Johnson and I have made it our mission to work for the passing of a bill by Senators Kwame Raoul and Senator Munoz, who are here today, and Representative Zaleski and Representative L.G. Sims, who are also here today, that encourage judges to ensure that repeat gun offenders receive sentences at the high end of the sentencing ranges. I've already talked to the leadership in Springfield and let them know that this is a top priority for Chicago. And making sure that the most dangerous repeat offenders receive appropriate sentences is an important step. But we must do more to keep guns out of the hands of criminals in the first place. I join President Obama and the vast majority of Chicagoans, Americans, and people across this country who are tired of waiting for Washington to get serious about gun violence. This Congress refused to pass a piece of legislation that banned terrorists on the no-fly list from getting a gun. If they can't get on a plane, they surely shouldn't go into a store and be able to purchase a gun. Now, while Washington won't do anything, Chicago needs Springfield to take action. Representative Willis has introduced a bill modeled after the Chicago law to hold gun stores accountable for flooding our streets with weapons. Thousands of guns recovered every year by the Chicago Police Department can be traced back to just a handful of stores. And some of these stores continue to sell to people who use those guns in previous crimes. This proposed new state licensing law for gun stores will allow local law enforcement in the community to inspect business records, require safety measures, and train store employees to detect traffickers. Superintendent Johnson and I will work to pass this new law in Springfield, and I'm calling on others across the state, regardless of whether you live in Chicago, to join us. Our residents, our police, are demanding tougher gun laws and tougher sentences, and we need Springfield to be part of the solution. And please, don't mimic Washington's dysfunction. We need you to stand up for the people of Chicago. The second piece of this public safety blueprint is investing in our communities and providing job opportunities for all those who need them. Every one of us has seen it. The old adage is true. Best anti-crime program is a job. It's that simple. You don't need to study it much longer and harder. You don't need a PhD from a great university to figure it out. It's no accident we're here in Malcolm X Community College on the West Side. This completely new campus, which we opened earlier this year, created nearly 1,000 construction jobs. And when it was built, many members of the residents of the community were part of that construction, getting their trades for the first time in their experience. And more important than just building it is the thousands of students that it's training for the area of healthcare and the promising jobs and careers that come here. And it's not just here in Malcolm X on the West Side. On the far south side at Olive Harvey, thousands of Chicagoans are pursuing the knowledge in the growing and prosperous field of transportation, distribution, and logistics. And their new campus will be finished in the next 12 months. We're not going to give up on the young people who are not going to college, though. and are out of a job. Just yesterday, I came here with First Deputy Kevin Navarro. There's a reason the First Deputy came with me, because the police department also knows getting our kids who aren't in school or aren't in work a job is important to the job that our police officers do on the street of Chicago. We held a job fair here yesterday. It is the fourth one. 500 kids were there. At my age now, I'm allowed to call them kids. They look young to me. Looking for a shot at a job that will put them on a path to independence and success. As I said, it's the fourth one. You should see the difference it's made in those young people's lives. Getting a yes and not a no. Having a welcoming mat rather than the door slammed in their face. You have no idea what that has meant to them. They have a pep in their step ready. Two of them I met yesterday emailed back to the office to let us know they got a job. It wasn't just the job, folks. Now, what? You don't have to tell the mayor. It's not like he's going to go there and buy food or clothes. Why do you think they did it? Was it a job? Was it a paycheck? It was the self-dignity that they count. It was a sense, their own. They didn't just get a job offer. They got a yes to their future. All of us go to work with the dignity of who we are defined by that job. And we have thousands of kids looking. Thousands of young men and women looking for that moment of dignity. And that yes, it's a paycheck. Yes, it's a job. But it's more than that. It's the dignity and the self-respect of identity. And that's what 2,000 kids got yesterday. And you'd have seen it the other day at a grocery store. We're interviewing 125 people. You could see that twinkle in their eye, that sense of optimism. That somebody saw in them what they knew was buried deep down and they just needed, you're hired. And their lives are different today. Now, the partnership we launched here, the fourth effort, I can't say enough about Howard Schultz from Starbucks, who called this 100,000 Opportunities Initiative. And it's helping people throughout the city, 2,000. While I'm proud for that 2,000, we got to be honest and frank. There's thousands behind them, and we won't stop and rest until they also have a chance to hear the word, you're hired, or two words, you're hired. I also want to call out Arne Duncan and the Emerson Collective who are working with us to develop a comprehensive strategy for helping our city's young people who are not in school and lack a job at this moment. Our summer jobs program, One Summer Chicago, last year served a record 31,000 kids. And even in tough fiscal times where we've been cutting our deficit, the City Council has stepped up every year and added thousands of more kids each year to give them not just a paycheck, but something to keep them busy in the summer with a good mentor and all the values that come from work. And this year, once again, I'll be asking City Council to add 2,000 more kids to our summer jobs and 1,000 more for our after-school program each year, setting a new record for the City of Chicago. We also need to build more opportunity in our neighborhoods where people live, which is why we established the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund. At the beginning of next year, we'll already have $8 million in that fund. We'll use those resources to invest in our neighborhoods and creating vibrant retail where people not only get a job, but it comes also with that job and that vibrant retail, a commercial life in a city and parts of our neighborhoods that have not been seeing it for years. Now, we're seeing some of the promising returns from earlier investments in Austin, in Bronzeville, in Pullman, and in Englewood. And in addition to the investment we've made on the new Red Line South, the Obama Presidential Library, which we fought hard to make sure stays in the city of Chicago and doesn't go to the Upper West Side of New York, not only will bring educational and cultural advantages, but it will be a big boost of economic opportunity on the south side of Chicago. Working community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, we need to continue to expand opportunity, and that opportunity brings hope to everyone in the neighborhoods that make up this great city. Now, the final part of public safety blueprint is perhaps one of the most important. We have to be honest about that problem. Many of the gun crimes committed in our city are being committed by young men with gang affiliations. And many of the victims of gun violence in our city are young men with gang affiliations. They're mirror images of each other. To have any chance of stopping them from killing each other and the innocent bystanders, we have to stop them from giving up on themselves and their future. In my second inaugural, I talked about these young men, the need for Chicagoans to join together to provide them with alternatives to guns and gangs. As I said then, when young men join gangs in search of praise, we must and can do better. When young men turn to lives of crime for hope, we can and must do better. When prison is a place we send boys to become men, we can and must do better. Many of these young men are high school dropouts. They don't have a job. They do not have hope. They do not see a future for themselves, which is why they're willing to do something foolish today. Now look, parents and grandparents in this city are raising good kids against great odds. In some cases, though, we have kids growing up without positive role models in their lives. And the danger we face today is that the gangs in the city of Chicago are willing to be that role model. They're willing to be that mentor. They're willing to be that family. When President Obama announced My Brother's Keeper initiative, which was inspired by the organization here in Chicago, Become a Man, and the young man that introduced him is somebody he met at Hyde Park High School in a BAM circle. President Obama said, "We need to give more young Americans the support they need to make good choices, to be resilient, to overcome obstacles, and achieve their dreams." I go around this city. I see kids today, a look in their eyes, where the vitality, the hope, and the purpose has been stolen from them because of the harshness of this city. It has been robbed from them. And we cannot avert our eyes as a city any longer. What is My Brother's Keeper? Become a Man. 100 black men. Let us make men all have in common. Our kids are yearning for that guidance. Our kids are yearning for that foundation. They need a moral compass to help them, point them in the right direction to make the right choices so they can look back on the past with pride rather than shame. And every one of these organizations are dedicated to making sure we do not lose another generation to the evil and the seduction of the vice lords, the gangster disciples, and the Latin kings. Chicago, we have a simple choice. Either becoming a man is the mentor or the vice lords. Either 100 black men is the role model or the gangster disciples. Either we train men, My Brother's Keeper, or the Latin Kings is that family. And I know this about the kids in Chicago. They haven't had a choice. It's been forced on them. You give the kids of the city of Chicago a good, positive, moral choice where they can have a future or a negative one, our kids will pick the positive, good one. But they haven't been given that choice. And we cannot afford to lose another generation to the gangs and the streets and to the guns and to the violence. As one man said in a meeting we had at Charles Hayes Community Center, character still counts. Teaching responsibility should not be a taboo subject for this city. Our kids need it. I want you to think back to Tyshawn Lee. 9 years old, doing what you would want any kid to do. Playing basketball on a court in the city of Chicago with friends. Two gangbangers seduce him, walk him 100 feet to an alley. And not once did the light bulb go off in their head and say what we're about to do is wrong. And they shot him in cold blood. The deck has been stacked against the kids, and it's time we reshuffle the deck and put our kids on the top of that deck. Today, I'm calling for, in our 20 most violent-ridden neighborhoods, universal mentoring for every 8th grade, 9th grade, and 10th grader. Not 1 year, every year going forward. We will have it in our budget, $36 million, six from the city and six from the private sector. And I want to be clear. I want to thank Exelon, People's Gas, Bank of America, Get in Chicago, and Jimmy John, who himself credits his success to a mentor who helped him get through high school and get on in his life. Because each of them has stepped up, and that's what we want from our corporations, to be good corporate citizens, to give our kids a chance. Confronting gun violence and its underlying causes is not easy, and it won't be done in a week. It will take a commitment from every member of the family we call Chicago. To reverse the rising tide of violence, we need to provide hope instead of desperation, caring adults instead of gang affiliations. We need to strengthen policing. We need to strengthen prevention. We need to strengthen penalties, and we need to strengthen parenting. We need to bridge the divide between the community and those sworn to protect them. I say this knowing with all confidence that we're up to this and we can get this done. Even in challenging times, Chicagoans continue to do big and bold things that define the character of the people that make up this great city. Earlier this week, we learned that once again, Chicago students achieved a record high ACT scores on top of record high graduation rates, on top of record high college attendance, on top of record high scholarship money, on top of the fact that our fourth graders are leading the country in reading gains and our eighth graders are leading the country in math gains. I say that because we all know just a few years ago, that couldn't be said about the city of Chicago. Some people were saying our Chicago public schools were the worst in the nation. We came together, worked together, decided to put our kids first, and our teachers and our kids are accomplishing great things, and those kids who are doing well are on to a better future because we decided to put them first. And we took on big obstacles, big things, to get big things done. So when I say, when we say, this is the city that works, that is what it means. That is why I'm confident we can solve this problem. When we work together, talk together, listen together, pray together, and act together as a united city, there's nothing we can't do. It won't be easy. Real lasting change never is. But across our city, even in the most violent plague neighborhoods, I constantly run into brave and resourceful individuals who on their own are committed to making a difference. And they should be our inspiration, our North Stars. There are people like Mother Jade, Mother Josephine Wade, and her son, Victor Love. Mother Wade uses her restaurant, Captain Hard Times. I will tell you this, they have great scrambled eggs there. I go off my diet. Don't tell Amy, Mother Wade. She uses a restaurant to hire kids in the neighborhood wandering around and give them a job and mentor them. Victor, her son, learns his values straight up from mom. He helps disrupt violence before it happens in the neighborhood and helps get kids connected to foster parents. There are young people like Avery Sterling, who's also here, a young man who grew up in Englewood, believing he had no future. And worse, that no one cared. A few years ago, started working with a mentor at Children's Home in Aid. His mentor guided him, helped him get a job with One Summer Chicago. Amy and I, different days, worked with him, painting a house in Englewood with Amanda Anderson. Avery now is a mentor to other kids, helping them make the right choices for their future. There are people like Tamara Manasseh, who after being sick and tired of seeing the nudes of the violence in Englewood, founded Mothers Against Senseless Killings, an army of women and men who are reclaiming their neighborhood block by block. Now that movement has started, it's gone viral, and other neighborhoods and other states are copying what she's done. And then there's Arshel Dennis, a Chicago police officer who, after tragically losing his 19-year-old son to gun violence, found the courage and strength to put his police uniform, his badge back on, and serve the rest of the city with dignity, with duty, and with dedication to the rest of us. These are our heroes, and they are not alone. All over this city, I encounter men and women, young people, old people, all walks of life, all faiths, all heritages, committed to a safer Chicago. Instead of wringing their hands about crime and violence and pointing fingers, they're lending a hand where it's needed. And we, as a city, must follow their example. We must reach out to children and provide them with models and mentors. We must provide a life-changing job to a teenager and an ex-offender. We must invest in troubled neighborhoods rather than drive around them. We must support our police officers and help them do their difficult work. And at the end of the day, we will be judged by the answers to a few simple questions. Can a mother in any neighborhood in the city of Chicago allow her kids to go out to the park or playground and not think twice about it? Or can the kids on the way to school think about their studies, not their safety? The city of Chicago is our home. The people of Chicago are our family. Those of us who live in Chicago, work in Chicago, send our children to the schools in Chicago, we all have a stake in the future of Chicago. I pledge my full commitment to this task. And I ask each of you humbly for your help in confronting the scourge of violence and guns in our city. Now let's get to work. God bless this great city and this great people. Thank you.